Good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday. How y'all doing today? That was not half bad. How y'all doing today? Why don't you stand to your feet? We're going to sing some songs together. We're going to worship God in this place. Sing this with me. I'm leaning. And I'm leaning on the edge.
Give up, never. down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down.
About the goodness of God. It's not just a nice quality that God has, it is the very essence of His being that He is good. We are not giving God a compliment, we are describing the very nature of who He is. He is good. And for some reason, I'm always reminded of the story, many of us have heard it, of the shepherd leaving the 99 sheep to find the one. That is what makes God good. The age-old question, why does a good God let bad things happen, is the wrong question to ask, the wrong question to think about. It's not why does He let it happen, it's where is He when it happens. And He is with us in the fire, He is with us in the storm. He will pick you up out of the brush you're stuck in, out of the chasm you have fallen into. He is a God who doesn't have to come to us, but He does. And the very nature of our response is to say, God, You are good. And wherever You are, I want to be. If it's in the fire, I want to be there. If it's in the depths of hell, I want to be there. I want to be where You are. Psalms 23, He leads us beside still waters. He restores our soul. He makes a table in front of our enemies. This is the goodness of God we sing about this morning. So Jesus, may Your presence invade this room right now. God, may Your goodness overflow this morning. May we breathe in the very nature of Your character, of Your heart. May it be so evident in this room right now that You would come and You would dwell with Your people. And that our worship to you this morning would be a sweet, sweet aroma. And I'm caught up in your presence. I just want to sit here.
Church. Pastor Jared and his wife Tammy couldn't be with us today, so this is what you get if you order a Jared from Temu. I'm also Jared. All right. Hey, we really want to welcome all of you today, especially the newcomers. On the back table there, we have our Connect table. We have small groups that meet almost every day of the week, so please take a look at that there as well. Although some of them are taking a summer break, not all of them are, so please, we'd like to connect with you. So Pastor Jared and his wife Tammy are on a mission trip with Johnny and friends for children with special needs. So we do have a special guest with us today. But first, please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we gather in your holy presence with hearts full of gratitude and spirits brimming with reverence. We acknowledge your sovereignty, your goodness, and your mercy. We are humbled by your love that knows no bounds and your grace that is new every morning. As we come together in fellowship, we ask for your divine guidance and wisdom. Bless each soul present here today. May we be receptive to your word, and may our hearts be fertile ground for your seeds of truth. Illuminate our minds, stir our hearts, and equip our hands to do your work. We pray for our Pastor Jared and his wife Tammy, who are currently on a mission trip. May you guide their steps, protect them, and use them as vessels of your love and grace. May their efforts bear fruit for your kingdom. We also extend a warm welcome to all the newcomers joining us today. May they find a spiritual home in our midst, experience your love through our community, and grow in their faith journey. As we delve in today's sermon, let your Holy Spirit guide our understanding and application of your word. We pray for those who couldn't join us today, that they may feel your comforting presence. We also remember those who are sick, grieving, or in distress, that they may find healing, comfort, and peace in you. As we commence today's service, we surrender all our worries, fears, and anxieties at your feet. We invite your presence and peace to surpass all understanding to guard our hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Replicate, this morning we have Brett Barkman and his wife, Holly. They're joining us from the Church of Bayshore in Niceville. Nashville's quite a lot farther than Niceville, but they join us from Niceville. We were fortunate to have Brett at the men's retreat that we did a few months back. He shared with us a message of being agents of change in our Christian life, among others. But one of the main things that I took away from his message was probably really the core of his whole life's journey with Christ was someone took the moment to share the gospel message with him. And just this morning, as I was with the D group, we looked at where Jesus shared with the disciples that, you know, his time here was limited and that he was going to be with the Father and that his ministry was replicated through the disciples. And what a perfect testimony of how that is multiplied through the disciples by someone sharing the gospel message with Brett, that he has multiplied that and led others to salvation, and it has brought him here today. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's please welcome Brett Barkman.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Jared. Appreciate it. Before I start and I get everything ready here, I realized that when I was in the men's ministry weekend that this church is filled with some godly men in here, and I also realized that Jared had many options to pick with people, and I know I wasn't the first choice. I was probably the last one to say yes, so that's probably why I'm here today, is because I was the last one to say yes. But one thing I really enjoy about getting to know the men in this church is there are a lot of strong, godly men in this church, and it's not every church can say that. And I also got to learn a lot about them, and they really like to eat, so that was a good thing to see as well. And also, there's probably some really godly women behind you, so that's all I can say about that. So, one thing I know that Jared does, and it's a tradition that he likes to do, is he likes to stand for the reading of God's word. So if you would join me, please, as we look into John chapter 18, and we'll honor God's word together by standing and reading this together. John 18, verse 33, for those that are able to stand. Verse 33, so Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered, do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done? And Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting. Then I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world. Then Pilate said to him, so you are a king. And Jesus answered, you say that I am a king, and for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. And Pilate said to him, what is truth? And continuing on here for a few verses, he says, and after he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, I find no guilt in him, but you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release you the king of the Jews? They cried out again, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you have given us your word, and that you've given us your Holy Spirit to understand your word. And we ask you, Father, that you would guide us in our midst today. We pray in our Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Go ahead and have your seat, please. And as you're seating there, I want to ask you a question. For those that are in the room today, how many people have been confidently wrong before? That's a good show of hands. Now, if you're not sure what the idea of what being confidently wrong is, let me explain this to you. You know you're right. You're absolutely right, and you're like, I am sold out. There's no way I can be wrong, only to find out what? You're wrong. Exactly right. And afterwards, it's almost like you were part of two different realities. You're like the reality before you knew the truth and the reality after you learned the truth. And you're like, how in the world did I miss this? And that is what I call being confidently wrong. It's like, you're like, there's no way that I can be wrong. I recently asked a group of men at Anchor Church in Freeport, Florida, the same exact question. And I said, have you ever been confidently wrong? And it was kind of like a men's breakfast. And one man actually said this out loud during the lesson. He said, yes, I'm married. I'm confidently wrong all the time. Yeah. And that is the voice of truth, folks, right there. And that's what it's, wives, don't be looking at your husbands right now. That's it, or needling them. So this also reminds me of a recent insurance company commercial that's out there where they throw the red flag. Have you seen that before? Where what really happens? They're like, oh, let's go to the instant replay and let's take a look at it. Now on that, if you see that commercial, both sides think they're right until they throw the red flag, they go to the videotape, and you can almost always see the face on the person who was wrong. They're like, I was wrong. So I will tell you, imagine how many problems we would solve in our world if we had an instant replay. Or we could throw the red flag and just do a do-over. But unfortunately, we don't have one. And unfortunately, in some cases, we don't have one. So we don't have to go back through that. Today we looked into John chapter 18, and then the heading of the scripture that's in here, it says, my kingdom is not of this world. And Pilate asked in that thing, it says, what is truth? Now that question is very valid for us today. The classical Greek word for truth here is aletheia. And I know that there's actually some schools that are named aletheia Christian or school. And if you have the word aletheia, what that literally means is truth. Now, truth, in regards to this, it's not bound by circumstance. It's not bound by your opinion. It does not matter about your feelings. It does not matter whether you want to get involved or not. And if you choose to ignore it, truth is truth. And it does not matter how you interact with it. So, for instance, a good example of this is gravity. We would all agree that gravity is true. But if I choose to ignore gravity, it's going to have a way of reminding me that gravity is real. There is reality here. So you have gravity, which is real, but you cannot ignore it. It's going to be there to remind you that it is very true. So in this situation, Pilate was in a very tough spot. Pilate had to determine why the Jews wanted Jesus dead. And we look in verse 18, chapter 18, verse 33, and it says, Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered, do you say this of your own accord, or did others say this about me? Pilate started off with the question, are you a king? But Jesus ultimately reminded him, says, do you really want to know the truth? It's kind of what he was saying. Are you sure you really want to know the truth? How many people remember that movie, A Few Good Men? Like, you can't handle the truth. This is one of those, you can't handle the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth, but you're probably not going to be able to handle it. So, but he did. He handled it. He gave him the truth. Verse 35, he says this, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done? Pilate, once as he's asking questions, goes, look, I'm asking the questions here. Not you. I'm asking the questions. Your own nation has handed you over to me so that they could kill you. But Pilate was tasked with keeping the peace in that neighborhood. And what did we know about Pilate, right, that Jesus, as Jesus is revealing to Pilate? He's a king. So from Pilate's perspective, what's he thinking? Oh, he had the justification right there for him to say, oh, he is a king, to get rid of him. But Jesus provided him an answer here. It says, and he's not expecting the truth. He was stunned. In verse 36, let's see a little bit further. Jesus answered this, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting, that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from this world. Jesus revealed some truth. And for those that were in the men's ministry weekend with me, you know that I come up with some incredibly profound truths. So here's a lot of the truth. I'm going to drop some incredibly profound things on you here. We read this. There's two kingdoms. That's your first profound truth. There are two kingdoms that exist here that he's talking about. Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. And if it was, what would happen? His servants would have come and fought for him. But they didn't. So Pilate can only see one kingdom, and Pilate knows that the king of that kingdom is Caesar. But he's not familiar with this other kingdom that Jesus is talking about. So Pilate says in verse 37 here, and this is very important for us to understand this before I read this, is just because you can't see something doesn't mean it's not real. Okay? So verse 37, he says this, then Pilate said, so you are a king. And Jesus answered, you say that I am a king, and for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. So Pilate is starting to partially understand that Jesus is a king. This alone could have been enough for Pilate to send him away to Rome. But Jesus said he's come into this world for a purpose. And the purpose was written in these verses. The purpose is so he can tell people the truth. So this is kind of the conversation that's happening here. And how does Pilate respond after all of that? He's confused. And he says this. In verse 38, Pilate said, what is truth? And he said this, and after he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, I find no guilt in him. Pilate, after talking to him, apparently realized that Jesus was no threat in his view to the Roman Empire. Even though Pilate stared truth right in the face and asked him, what is truth? He sought no answer from the only one who could provide it for him. And he tried to release Jesus. He tried to get out of this situation. The Jews had other plans. And the next thing you know, he's handed over to be crucified. So, with all that saying, let me say this. What is truth, church? What is truth? Folks, there is a battle for truth going on right now in our society. It's not going to be a big surprise to you that there is one, but there is a very, very real battle that's going on. And there is something that we should know. Even if you look it up in the dictionary, what truth is, truth corresponds with reality, folks. You can't make up your own truth. Truth has to correspond with reality. And as we understand reality, then we can see the statements that are based on reality. So let me ask you this. Have you been there? Have you ever been tasked to find out what is true? Are you in the middle of trying to figure out something that is true? Have you ever had a disagreement over reality? A disagreement over people, what you think is true and what other people don't think is true? Are you, as you looked into the situation, you're trying to find out more information about the truth, are you even more confused? I'm telling you, that is what's going to happen. So there is a battle for truth that exists, and there's a reality that there's two kingdoms, and they're at odds with each other. And the information that you know about these two kingdoms will help you base what your truth is and based on reality. Now more than ever, we need to hear the truth, and the truth is that word aletheia. I don't know if I shared a little bit about this, about my background, but I am retired Air Force. And one of the things I did in the Air Force was this thing called information warfare. And if you're not familiar with information warfare, it's a really simple concept that all the military branches use. It's to keep the truth away from your enemy, period. That's another incredibly profound thing. You keep the truth away from your enemy. If you can control what they see, you can control their minds, and then you can control their decisions. And if you control their decisions, you control the battlefield. Do you see a spiritual connection there? If you control what the enemy can see, you can control them. Sometimes you can't control what the enemy sees because they see the truth anyway. So what they do is they add more information to overload you. So the truth is there in the middle of all this other information. That's called deception. In the military, they call that military deception. So they overload you with information in the middle of the truth. Look at our society today about truth. Truth is in there, but look what else is there. All this other stuff is trying to deceive us of what truth really is. And there's a concept that we need to know really quickly. The enemy wants to keep the truth away from you at all costs. The enemy wants to keep the truth away from you at all costs. Okay? And whenever he can't keep it away from you, you know what he does? He fills you with lots and lots of information so you can't find the truth. That's the thing that the enemy does for us. So I would like to go in and just share three simple truths for us and go into so we can apply some of this with this. The first, like I said, incredibly profound truth that is here. Number one, there's a real daily battle exists between two kingdoms. There's two kingdoms, and the battle is daily. We live in the kingdom we see. We long to be in the kingdom we don't see. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul talks about his desire to depart this world and to be with Christ, which is far better. And if you have your Bibles with you, I would like to give you some practical application for this as well in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So if you want to move over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, in these verses, we see that Paul begs the Corinthians to have the right perspective about living according to the flesh. That is a kingdom that we can see. And according to the Spirit, that's a kingdom we can't see. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, it says this: "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh." Folks, we're human, and we don't wage war like humans do in a spiritual world. It suggests that a war is existing that cannot be fought with the flesh. Let me explain this to you as simple as I can. You cannot win a spiritual battle with physical strength. You cannot win a spiritual battle with physical strength. All right? It's very important for us to understand that. And if you ever want to do battle or anything, you know that to win a battle, you have to use the right weapon. And the right weapon is this, is found in verse 4. "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." We use divine weapons for a heavenly kingdom because it's not a worldly kingdom. If you like to write in your Bibles, you see the word divine power. There's two words that you should probably underline. Divine power. Divine is where we get the word theos. It means God. And under power, it's the word dynatos. It's where we get our word dynamite. So let me read this to you in our language. "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have God's dynamite to destroy strongholds." It takes God's dynamite to destroy strongholds. Now, in the context here, a stronghold literally means a fortress or a castle. And if you know anything about strongholds, strongholds are basically anything to keep people out or to keep people in. So now if we're talking about a spiritual stronghold, let me put that into context. Spiritual strongholds keep people out and keep people in. And the only way you tear down a stronghold is with God's dynamite, the truth. Are you with me here? The way you tear down strongholds that are keeping you away from God is with God's dynamite. God's dynamite is what? Truth. And that's so important for us to understand. Maybe you're thinking about this tonight, and maybe as we were talking about strongholds, something was popping into your head, but what are the strongholds in your life? What are the things that you're allowing in your brain to keep you away from God? There's a promise in God's scripture that says he has power to break down those strongholds in your life, and that's God's dynamite. Truth number two, we'll go into this next one. Paul points out specific bricks that are associated with these strongholds, and I'm literally talking about bricks to build up a wall. He has three specific bricks that he talks about. In verse 5, he says this, "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ." The truth number two that I wanted to share with you is the daily battle for truth takes place in our minds. That's where the battle usually occurs daily. It's in our minds. And we have to remind ourselves of truth. Like I said, if you like to underline things in your Bible, I would underline the three words argument, opinion, and thoughts. Because those folks, that is how the enemy tears us down. With arguments, opinions, and thoughts. The first argument here, the word argument is means speculations. Do you think there's any speculations or anything hostile to the gospel of Christ in our society today that we allow into our heads to kind of pull us away from the truth? Of course there are. That's the argument. Next thing is opinion. Specifically, it talks about lofty opinion. That is like a barrier or a rampart, or if you really want to go old school, a bulwark, like a big wall that keeps people out. Now, interesting, that word opinion occurs also in Romans 8:31 or 8:39, and it says this, "Neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God through Christ Jesus our Lord." That word height is the same word we use for lofty opinion. So what he was saying is no lofty opinion can separate us from the love of Christ that is in Christ Jesus. It's truth. That's how it gets us through. And finally, probably the biggest thing that happens, that they're bricks in our stronghold that are tearing us down, is our thought life. Thoughts can be very conceiving and convincing, and they can deceive us. And for many of us, perception is reality because of what we're seeing. How many people have seen things, and you're like, I know I'm right, but you're wrong. This is where your thought life, you have to figure out what kind of thought life you have. Think of the thoughts that are out that are putting into our heads today in society that are countering to us with the truth. How do we counter our thoughts? With truth. And the main way that we destroy strongholds, battle arguments, counter opinions, and take thoughts captive, we bring it obedient to who? God, through his word. We take those thoughts captive and say no. We're going to take him thought and take him captive to Christ. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy stronghold. It's God's dynamite, and it's truth, it's real, it's daily, and the best part about it, it's done. The battle is already won for those that are in Christ Jesus. And the last thing that I want to share with you is truth number three is we must fill our minds with truth. We must fill our minds with truth. Because if we don't fill our minds with truth, we are not going to be able to tell what is true and what is not. So how do I do that? So I have just a short exercise for you. And I want to show you how this is done with God's word to look at truth. So just bear with me here. So if you want to take notes, you can. But let's take a short walk through scripture to see how we can take captive our thoughts, our arguments, and our opinions with truth. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 says this: "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." Going down in verse 25, "because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped the served and the created and served the creature rather than the creator who is forever blessed. Amen." Hebrews 1, verse 1 through 4. "Long ago and at many times and at many places, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he spoke to us by" who? "His Son, whom he appointed us heir of all things, through whom all things were created by the world." John chapter 1, verse 17. "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." In John 4, 24, during a conversation with the Samaritan woman at the well, Jesus said, "God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." In John 8, 31, 32, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word and you are truly my disciples, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free." In John 14, 6, Jesus told his disciples, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Right before he left this earth in John 17, 17, he prays for his disciples and he says, "Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth." In John 16, 13, Jesus tells his disciples, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whenever he hears, he will declare to you the things that are to come." What are the things to come? In Revelation 19, verse 11 through 16, it says, "Then I saw a heaven open, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like flames of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name that no one else knows but himself. And he is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in white and fine linen, white and pure, followed him on white horses." It's my belief that's us, and we're not carrying any weapons. "For his mouth comes with a sharp sword, for which he strike down the nations, and he will rule over them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of God of Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name that is written." And what is that name? "King of kings and Lord of lords." And finally, what will he do? Will he rush her into this kingdom? This is what he will do. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven of God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne say, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will prepare, and they will be his people, and God himself will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eye, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, no crying, no pain. The former things have passed away.' And he who is seated on the throne says, 'Behold, I am making all things new.'" And he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." "And he said to them, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give the spring of water of life without payment.'" So, we read in John chapter 18, verse 37, Pilate says, "So you are a king." Yes, he is a king. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and he will share his glory with no man. So, when you're battle for truth, let's think of this. Truth is not a relative concept. It's not a good idea. The truth is the reality is the truth is a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. And there is no other name by which you must be saved. God's dynamite is a person, folks. It's a person. In summary, there is a daily battle between the two. And there's a daily battle for your mind, and we must fill our minds with God's truth. We must fill it so that whenever we see all these arguments and opinions and thoughts battling for our attention, guess what we've done? Filled our minds with truth. Filled it so that when we are exposed to all these things, we can say, we know the truth. C.S. Lewis wrote a book called Screwtape Letters. And in this book, it's a fictional correspondence between demons trying to tempt the human soul away from God. And if you haven't read it, you should probably read it. In one of those fictional letters, Uncle Screwtape, which is a demon, mentors his nephew Wormwood, who's also a demon, on how to influence the patient, and that's the Christian. It's kind of weird language that they use. So, and this is what it says in that book. It is funny how mortals always picture us as putting things into their minds. In reality, our best work is done by keeping things out. You know what the best way that the enemy has to win a fight against us in a spiritual realm is to keep the truth of God out of our heads. That's the number one way he does it. And if you know that, you're much better off of it. There is a battlefield in our minds. Why aren't we preparing our minds for battle? Daily, because there's two kingdoms. There's a battle that happens daily for our minds, and the only way we can get against it is if we put truth inside of our heads. So what is truth? Truth is a person. Who is divine power or God's dynamite? It's Jesus. Who do we bring arguments, opinions, thoughts captive to obey? Jesus. Why? Because truth is a person, and that person is Jesus. So the two questions I have for you tonight or today is actually this. Do you know the truth? Or are you confidently wrong? Do you know Jesus as the Lord of your life? See, God's design from the very beginning was for us to have fellowship with him. Sin entered the world and caused brokenness. And he came to us through Jesus Christ, and that's the good news. And all we have to do is repent, which means change your mind. I'm going this way. I'm going this way now. I'm going a different direction. And you follow God. It does not mean you have to be perfect. It just means you're changing your mind, and I'm no longer going to be in control of my life. I'm giving my life over to Jesus, and he's going to clean my life up. You don't have to clean up your life. You'll never be successful at it. Jesus is very good at that. The second question for those that are here that do know Jesus, I'll ask you this. Is Jesus Christ the Lord of your mind? Is he the Lord of your mind? Is he daily the Lord of your mind? Just this last week, we celebrated, the world celebrated the 80-year anniversary of D-Day. I'll ask you this. Maybe Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, but your mind looks like Omaha Beach on D-Day in 1944. Jesus Christ is really, really good at getting us up off this beach and giving us a new life and giving us a new thought life and giving us captive all of our thoughts that are taking the strongholds down in our lives. And it's all because of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. So regardless of Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life or if he's the Lord of your mind, remember, truth is not relative to your opinion. Jesus Christ is the Lord of all. Amen. So join me in praying. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. We ask you, Father, that you'd help us to remember that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in through Christ Jesus. That we are more than conquerors because of Jesus. And I was thinking this week as the story is, as I was looking at these verses over and over again, we know how the story ends. We'll be with you again. And we thank you so much for that. Father, your Holy Spirit is the only one that can bring about change in our lives, and we ask you, Father, that you would do that, and only you can do. And if somebody does not know you today, we ask you, Father, that you would help them to know you today. And I thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brett. All right, ladies and gentlemen, at this time we invite you, if you can, to rise and worship with our team here at Replicate Church. We also invite you to respond in how the Lord places it on your heart to respond, whether you'd like to come up to pray, kneel to pray, or to pray among each other.
mercy never fails me. In all my days, I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up dilemma, and I will see the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I get me, I will see the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest nights, you are close like no one. I know you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. Give you everything. And your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
Everyone, please be seated for just a few announcements. And I can tell you, I am confident today that I forgot to dismiss the children for children's ministry. So with the announcements, you may have seen the baby bottles on the table in the back. These are, you can to donate coins, cash, or any checks, whatever you feel to donate. These will benefit young families in our community through the Life Options Clinic here in Milton. So please do that if that's your calling. We have the ladies ministry. They have a Disney red carpet night coming up on June 15th. Miss Tammy's contact information is in there so that you can RSVP. The East Milton Elementary needs a East Milton Military. That would be interesting, right? East Milton Elementary. They need help moving some furniture coming up. When Pastor Jared returns, please reach out to him after service next week. Also, there will be a meeting on June 23rd after church for anyone who's interested in volunteering to assist with the youth karate camp that's coming up. That's on June 13th. It's an accessible karate camp, so it's also to support those children who would like to participate who may have some special needs there. Also, June 30th will be the next Discover Replicate class. Lunch is provided, and that is in the church office. If you have any questions, Eric, please feel free to come up and ask me, and I'll either have the answer or get you directed in the right direction. Next week, though, at worship, you will see a stranger. There's a special guest coming from Arizona, special to my family, a gentleman named David, and his wife Vanessa and their children are going to be joining us. They come from a small town just outside of Tombstone, the Tombstone, with, you know, Val Kilmer, "I'm in my prime," you know. So we'll welcome them. That'll be a great morning. Today we need a little bit of assistance with taking down the audio system and video system. I believe Jared will be, there's three of us if you didn't know, it's another Jared. So if you don't mind, after service, Jared will come over here to the baptismal. So if you'd like to help take down some of the equipment, please join him there. Am I missing anything? All right, team. I will close us in prayer. Please rise and pray with me. Lord, we thank you for your presence among us today. We ask that you give us the divine wisdom that only can come from you, so that we may discern your truth among the deception of this world. As we depart from this place, we ask that you bless us throughout the remainder of the day and guide us safely home. Do not let the learning and conversations of this gathering die, but instead, may they continue to ruminate within us and bear fruit in our lives, bringing you glory and honor. May your grace shine upon us, Lord. Bless us, keep us, and be gracious to us. Lift up your grace upon us and give us peace. In your mercy, Lord, hear our prayer and bless us. As we leave this place, remind us of our duty to serve you and others in the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Go in peace, and may the Lord's face shine upon you.